So this morning, even though we're in a different place, we're going to continue our series looking at the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. So if you have a Bible in front of you, and I hope you do, make your way to John chapter 10, John 10. And today we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 18, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So far, just by way of reminder to bring us up to speed in our series, we've looked at the claims that Jesus says that he is the bread of life, that he is the light of the world, and that he is the door. And those I am statements, when you take a step back and think about it, they're good and beautiful and true, and those more focus on like who Jesus is and what he does. But what's amazing, what's really interesting about the I am statement we're going to look at today, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, through that I am statement, we get an amazing and powerful and life-giving glimpse into who Jesus is on the inside, like what motivates him. Really, we get an intimate view, a look at Jesus through this statement. So think about it like this. Why specifically does Jesus Christ say, I am the good shepherd? Like, why doesn't he say, I am the horse trainer? Or I am an organic, free-range, vegan-loving chicken farmer, right? Or I am a dairy cattle rancher? Or I am, I don't know, what's the person called that raises llamas? I don't know what they're called. Why didn't Jesus say all those things? Why did he say, I am the good shepherd? Why a shepherd? Two sheep. By Jesus saying he is the good shepherd, again, we get a beautiful and powerful insight into the heart of Jesus, an insight into why Jesus does what he does and how Jesus Christ himself feels about it. So what does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd, and why does it matter for our lives today? And I promise you it does, and we're going to see that by the time we're done. So I hope you have a Bible in front of you. Please follow along with me now as I read aloud John 10, verses 11 through 18. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is God's word. Would you please agree with me in prayer before we begin? Father, we come today with great need and with great expectancy. We praise you for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. I pray today in this outdoor setting, in the beauty of your creation, that you will fix our minds and our hearts on Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, open your word to us now and open us to your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, during our time this morning, we're going to see that Jesus really is the good shepherd. And that means at least three things. So first, he is the good shepherd because he knows us. That's in verse 14. Second, he is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for us. That's in verses 11 and 15. And then lastly, he is the good shepherd because of his mission. And that's in verses 16 through 18. So first, Jesus really is the good shepherd because he knows us. So again, to ground us by way of reminder, we've already seen in our series, we've been highlighting it, that when Jesus makes these I am statements, remember, what is Jesus doing? He is taking the greatest name of God in the Old Testament, I am Yahweh. And Jesus says, I am he. That's me. He's claiming it for himself, meaning Jesus Christ is saying, I am God. And then in each of these I am statements, Jesus focuses his identity, who he is. He focuses it to our brokenness. He focuses it to our deepest needs. And do you remember the context of John 10? We looked at it last week when we looked at Jesus said, I am the door. Remember the context of John 10. It comes right after, shocking, breaking news, comes right after John 9, right? Where Jesus heals the blind guy. But then the religious leaders of the day, they dismiss him, they ignore him. They're callous to the physical and spiritual state of the blind man. So then in John 10, you see this rhythm all over that Jesus is comparing and contrasting himself to the false shepherds of his day. The false shepherds who were motivated by self-interest. Jesus says, that's not me. I'm the good shepherd. I'm not a false shepherd. And then we see that kind of flow into our text today where Jesus highlights that, hey, I'm different. I'm over and against a hired hand, someone who doesn't own the sheep. And when this hired hand, when he sees danger coming, when he sees the wolves coming, what's a hired hand do? He's like, man, I don't get paid enough for this. I am out of here. Jesus says, nope, that's not me. Jesus is comparing and contrasting himself over and against the false shepherds. So just look down, focus your attention on verses 14 and 15. What does Jesus say? I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus doesn't just have like a general knowing of his sheep. Do you remember what we saw last week in verse 3? Jesus says he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So this means Jesus knows each and every one of his sheep personally and comprehensively. He knows who each one is, down to the ground floor of who you are. This shows us. It shows us that Jesus is good, doesn't it? He's not an indifferent kind of shepherd. It shows us Jesus has the ability and the capacity and that he really, truly cares so much to know each and every one of his sheep like that. He knows them and he knows them by name. And you can say, all right, that's all well and good. Think about also by implication what Jesus is saying when he says he's a shepherd. Isn't he also saying something about his sheep, about us? Really, when you press in to this I am statement of Jesus that he is a good shepherd, it is revealing about ourselves. So I wonder, like, how much have you ever really thought about why a shepherd has to know his sheep and know them so personally? Why does a shepherd, like if you look at a job description on LinkedIn of a shepherd, I don't know if there are any, but if you did, it would say that a shepherd really has to know his or her sheep personally, has to watch over them continually. Like it's a 24/7 job description. A shepherd has to watch his sheep in ways that are far and beyond ways that owners of cows or sheep or horses, or goats, or chickens, or for my family, labradoodles. You have to know sheep a lot better than whatever any other animal you fill in the blank with. And again, when you think about it, that says something about sheep, doesn't it? And a lot of us know this, but I just want to say it. What it says about sheep, what it says about me and you, it's not flattering. Jesus is not tickling your ears here initially that you're a sheep. Now, I'm not like a professional sheep person, so I nerded out a little bit this week and did a bunch of reading and listening to about shepherds and sheep. Maybe some of you already know this, but I didn't. The reason shepherds have to care for sheep in ways that are different than from any other animal, is because of just how dependent sheep are. Sheep wander. Sheep easily lose their direction. They're easy prey for predators. And what makes it worse, sheep are helpless, but they don't think they're helpless. They think they're awesome and they know everything, but they don't. That's why the shepherd has to watch over them continually. And then when a shepherd finds his sheep, what do sheep do? Thank you for finding me. Is that what a sheep thinks in his little sheep brain to his shepherd? Not at all. The sheep runs around in panic, trying to avoid the shepherd who's there to rescue them. That's how sheep work. So what does a shepherd have to do? A shepherd has to tackle his sheep in love, tie its legs together, throw it over his shoulders, and bring it safely home. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, I'm the good shepherd. He's telling us something about sheep and how we work as sheep in relationship to a shepherd. So in other words, think about it like this. Herding sheep, shepherding sheep is like herding cats, but like a million times worse on steroids, okay? That's what a shepherd does. Bottom line, here's the scouting report. The scouting report on sheep. Sheep are helpless, slow, weak, and less than smart, to put it kindly. Less than smart. In reading, I was reading all these English shepherds. Listen to how they described sheep. English shepherds would say, and just hear this in an English accent, sheep are very dim. Sheep are very dim. That's the scouting report on sheep. So again, why? We can't miss it. Why would Jesus call us sheep? Why would he do that? Because it's true. Because it's true. By saying we're sheep, Jesus is saying we are dependent. We're dependent. And then we're dependent in at least two ways. You are dependent. I'm dependent in our understanding, right? In our understanding of ourselves, aren't we? We don't know what we don't know, but we don't live like that's true. We live like we know it all, don't we? Think about it like this. I heard a preacher share this and it struck home with me. I hope it strikes home with you. Think about it like this. How does your present self right now look back in the rearview mirror of your life and look back on your past self? How does your present self think of your past self? Doesn't your present self look down on your past self? There's some chronological snobbery going on. Oh yeah, back then, man, I just didn't know, but now I do, right? Your past self, your present self always looks down on your past self. Here's what came to mind for me. Maybe some of you have wanted to do this. Carrie and I talk about this. We need to finally make it happen. We want to throw an awkward age party, right? So people who are invited, you could bring a picture of yourself in middle school and high school. And then in love, because we love each other, we can share the pictures and just laugh at each other, all in good humor, as we look at our awkward ages, right? Some of you right now, you're lying to yourself if you don't think you've had an awkward age, or maybe you're in it right now, okay? My awkward age, some of you can relate to this, was in the early to mid-90s, okay? I thought hyper-color shirts were awesome. Some of you remember this, right? I'm a middle school, high school boy with smelly stuff going on. And I thought hypercolor shirts were awesome, even though it highlighted where I'm hot and sweaty. I thought rayon shirts buttoned up to the top were I was killing it, right? It was awkward. My dream was to own a Seattle Seahawks starter jacket. Do you remember the starter jackets? I thought those were amazing. But can we be honest? All of that is extremely awkward, right? So we all can look back and think, oh yeah, I remember my awkward age. And some of you right now are probably thinking like, Mike, I hate to break it to you, but you're in it right now. And I would say I probably am. That's true, right? So just think about yourself in all different kinds of ways. Awkward age. And one other thing, sorry, I just have to share this real quick. I can share more with you later. One of my friends in high school, and I'm not going to give his name. One of my friends in high school, no joke, his mom made him homemade hammer pants. Just let that sink in. Homemade hammer pants. So some of you, if you don't know what that is, Google it, not right now, later today, and share during our hangout picnic time together, share about your awkward age and enjoy it together. And let me know if you can top homemade hammer pants, okay? So I share that with you because doesn't your present self always think your past self didn't know very much? Whether again, it's something in fashion or about how we understand ourselves or how we understand the world around us. Maybe again, you look back on yourself like you 5 years ago and you think back then I needed help, but now I don't. I've arrived. I've figured it all out. But just think about it real quick. Get in the DeLorean from Back to the Future and program 10 years from now. What is your future self 10 years from now going to think about your present self? Your future self is going to think about you right now as, man, I didn't have it all figured out. Right? So we're always off in our understanding of ourselves. We're dependent in our understanding. And second, we're also dependent for our identity. Here's what I mean. Ask yourself, can sheep name themselves? They can't, can they? So when Jesus says he knows his sheep, he knows them personally. Remember back in verse 3, Jesus said he names his sheep. And again, we're just like sheep. We're dependent on others for our identity, for someone outside of us to tell us who we are, to tell us why we matter, to name us. Again, someone from outside of you has to name you, right? You didn't name yourself in the hospital. Someone named you. Someone has to tell you that you matter. Someone has to tell you that you have a purpose. Someone has to tell you that you're beautiful. And no matter how much, like the culture around you tells you this, young people, for those of you going back to school, going to university soon, the culture around you is going to tell you, man, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. You can name yourself. You can name your own identity. That's a lie. That's not how you were made. That's not how the world works. You have to have someone else name you. Again, you can't really feel like you matter. You can't really see yourself as beautiful unless someone tells you that you are. Here's a way to think about it. Later today, we're going to have a bunch of games, right? Can't wait. One of those games is wiffle ball. Some of you have been like training for this. It's going to be awesome. But what if like you've played wiffle ball like for the last 10 years of your life, but you've never got on base one time. But then later today, you just kind of tell people, you know, like hashtag humble brag. Yeah, I'm pretty awesome at wiffle ball, but you've never got on base. Are you awesome at wiffle ball? You're not, are you? No matter what you think about yourself, if you even wore a t-shirt here today that said hashtag wiffle ball legend, you are anything but, no matter what you think about yourself, right? So would you say that person that says, man, I'm awesome at wiffle ball, but you stink at wiffle ball? Would you say like that person is like well-adjusted emotionally, right? Do they have a healthy self-image or view of themselves? I guess you could say that, but probably more accurately, you would say that person is narcissistic, deluded, and self-deceived, right? That's kind of how that works in our lives. So why does all this matter? Why does this matter? It matters because Jesus is saying he knows his sheep to the degree that he calls them by name. So this tells us that we're sheep. And because we're sheep, therefore we're dependent on someone outside of ourselves for our identity. for our true name to tell us who we really are. Jesus is the good shepherd because he knows us. And this reality, again, it tells us who we are. We are sheep. Really, we're sinners who, like sheep, are utterly dependent, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, dependent in every way. This guy named Tim Keller says it like this. He says, our dependence is, quote, the essence of our sheepness. So if you're a sheep, you're dependent. And again, at the end of the day, I'm a sheep, you're a sheep. Each and every one of us is a sheep. That's an implication of what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the good shepherd. So you could be thinking to yourself right now, how does Jesus, knowing us like this, knowing us all the way to the bottom of who we are, how does that make him good? How does that make him a good shepherd? So this brings us to our second point. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for us. So two times in our passage, Jesus says he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now, how can Jesus say that, especially in light of what we just briefly scratched the surface of what it means that we are sheep, about the depth and totality of our sheepness? The key is right there on the pages of Scripture in front of you. It's one very important word in verse 11 and verse 15, and that very important word is for. For here means lays down his life for the sheep. For here means in place of, that substitutionary atonement language. The good shepherd lays down his life in place of his sheep. Now think about it. Would a real shepherd want to die? No, not at all, right? Let alone for his own self-preservation, let alone for the safety and health of his sheep. Because if the shepherd dies, his sheep, thieves are going to steal them, wolves are going to kill them, right? So a real shepherd would not want to die. Why does that matter? It matters because Jesus is going above and beyond the metaphor here of being a good shepherd. Jesus doesn't merely like risk his life for his sheep. He willingly, joyfully lays it down in line with his Father's will. The good shepherd lays his life down, like what Hebrews 12 says, tells us, for the joy set before him. Jesus lays down his life in place of his sheep, to do something for his sheep that they cannot do for themselves, to save his sheep at great cost to himself. Jesus' death on the cross was not accidental. It was not a tragic cosmic accident. It was intentional by a good shepherd to save his sheep. The cross of Jesus Christ, when you think about it, it's what qualifies him to be the good shepherd. It's the proof. It's what demonstrates the glory and grace and worth of his goodness as the good shepherd, that he lays down his life in place of his sheep. Verse 17, right here, just let your eyes wander down a little bit. Verse 17 here in John 10 says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. This points to the triune God in perfect unity with himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, all the way in eternity past. The Father loved his Son. And the demonstration of that love is the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the purpose of the Good Shepherd, to lay down his life in order to take it up again, because his death had his resurrection in view. Do you see how much how much is baked into when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. How much treasures of the gospel are there to enjoy. So what does this mean? It means that Jesus loves his sheep so very much that he became a lamb himself. Jesus is saying he is the good shepherd who becomes the sacrificial lamb. And again, like that can't just be familiar language that goes in one ear and out the other. You have to, you need to press into this, meditate on it until it captures your imagination and your affections. Until it changes your heart, until it reorders what you love and how you see yourself and how you see other people and how you experience the world around you. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is God, and he owns absolutely everything in all his creation. Everything. He owns everything you can see and hear right now. He owns the furthest galaxies beyond human comprehension. He owns all the stars and the supernovas and like the galaxies that are 9.3 billion, billion light years from here. He owns it all. He owns the tiniest of sea creatures down into the deepest ocean depths. He owns every element at the molecular level. Why? How? Because he's the creator. So he has creator rights on all of it. He owns all the treasures in all reality. It's all his. And what does he treasure so much that he became one of them and laid down his life in place of them? Think about what that means. Like, Jesus, Christian, doesn't just put up with you. He treasures you. He loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. And then he takes it back up again as the shepherd king. That's how good of a shepherd Jesus is. What was Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, thinking on his way to be the sacrificial lamb on the cross? Scripture tells us, some of you probably is coming to mind right now, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 says that the good shepherd was feeling like a lamb on his way to the cross. Isaiah 53 puts it like this, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The shepherd became the sacrificial lamb so that he would take the sins of his sheep and give them his perfect righteousness. It really matters for each of our lives that Jesus is the good shepherd. Again, this gives us this amazing window and view into who Jesus Christ is, into our Savior is, and how he feels about us as his sheep. What was his motivation when the good shepherd went to the cross, right? And you could say lots of things and lots of Bible verses. The holiness and justice and wrath of God was on his mind. The love of God was on his mind. And what does Jesus quote while on the cross, the good shepherd becoming the sacrificial lamb? Jesus quotes Psalm 22, doesn't he? So he had this whole psalm on his mind, and Psalm 22 says that his enemies, quote, open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. So in other words, on the cross, it was the wolves, the predators coming for Jesus. And Jesus didn't run like a hired hand, did he? But instead, he substituted himself in the place of his sheep in order to save them, because the good shepherd became the Lamb of God to save his sheep from ultimate death and separation from God. What an amazing, good, and kind God Jesus Christ is. Hebrews 13:20 will be our benediction here in a few minutes towards the end of our service. Listen to how Hebrews 13:20 tells of the glory and grace and goodness of Jesus as our good shepherd. Listen to how Jesus being the good shepherd is described and praised. Hebrews 13:20 says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." To Jesus Christ will be the glory forever and ever, because he is the good shepherd who became the sacrificial lamb to save sheep just like us. And again, that has to do something to you. That has to, if you're truly listening to the good shepherd. That has to change you in some real kind of ways. Because Jesus fully knows us. Knowing the depth of our sheepness to the bottom of us, knowing our utter dependence, and yet he fully loves us to the degree of laying his life down for us, his sheep. And do you realize what that points us to? Like what that highlights for us? It highlights that only in the gospel of Jesus Christ, only in the person and work of Jesus Christ, do you find what you've been longing for your whole life, to be fully known and fully loved, and not just by another wandering dependent sheep, but by Jesus Christ himself, the good shepherd. So what does that mean for us? And how do we live into the reality of who we are and who Jesus is? And that brings us to our third and final emphasis as we sit under the blue sky here at Blue Lake Park. Our third and final emphasis, Jesus is the good shepherd because of his mission. Just look down at verses 16 through 18. Verse 16, what's it say? Again, this is Jesus speaking. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." What is Jesus saying here? What Jesus is saying right here in John chapter 10 is a fulfillment, a messianic fulfillment of who Jesus Christ is. Because the Messiah would be sent to save Jews and Gentiles. That the Good Shepherd would come to call and save and gather and glorify sheep from every people group. That's the rest of the theme that we see resounding through the New Testament. It's why Paul could say in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Do you feel the urgency of Jesus' mission here in John 10? Just look at it and like feel it. The good shepherd says he must bring them also, and that these sheep will listen to my voice. Not maybe, not aspirationally, they will listen, and he must bring them. Because that's what his sheep do. They hear his voice, and then they trust and treasure Jesus Christ as their God, as their good shepherd who knows them and who laid his life down for them. And that has a huge implication to the mission of the Good Shepherd, to the mission of Jesus Christ. And I hope like your mind is going there right now. By implication, this means that it is Jesus Christ himself, the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd King, who is at work in the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the command that the Shepherd King leaves all his followers, and by extension, each and every one of you here today who is a Christian. The command Jesus gives right before he ascends back up into heaven. And it's the Good Shepherd's mission that he is accomplishing through his people, through his sheep. So just listen to what our good and gracious shepherd says to his disciples, and then by extension to each and every Christian sense. And that includes each of you here today. Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 through 20 is the Great Commission, and this is the mission of the Good Shepherd. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who is on mission to save his sheep. And how's he doing that? How's he accomplishing his mission? Through us, his sheep, as we're sent on mission. It's amazing. As we're sent, Jesus is leading us out, going in front of us, giving us a name, always with us to the very end of the age. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is pursuing, calling, and saving his sheep from every tongue and nation and tribe across all of history and still today, in Gresham, Oregon, and to the very end of the earth. Like, do you feel the urgency and the grandeur and the totality of the mission of the Good Shepherd? And this has implications in how this informs our mission today. And two quick things I want to highlight for us as a church. First, it means that if you are a Christian, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the Good Shepherd's mission is your mission. It's your mission as one of his sheep to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ near and far. What that means, how we like to say it here at GBC, is this. This is your mission and our mission. It's to be a disciple who makes disciples through the transforming power of the gospel. That's the mission Jesus Christ gives each and every one of us. Second, do you know what else the mission of Jesus Christ means? It means that because Jesus is truly the Good Shepherd who is on mission to save his sheep, it means nothing, nothing, and no one can defeat that mission. I really mean that. From God's point of view, like maybe some of you have been praying for your kids to be missionaries. Maybe some of you have been starting to like feel the little initial embers or sparks. Like, man, could God call me to be a missionary? An implication of the mission of the Good Shepherd is that there is no such thing as a closed country or an impossible people group to reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the Good Shepherd is on mission, he must bring each and every one of his sheep, and they will listen to his voice. They will. It's certain. Because Jesus is God and he is on this relentless mission, a lovingly invincible mission, to save each and every one of his sheep. Like, that should put steel in your bones and like start to light your heart on fire as you proclaim the gospel with the aim to persuade. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who knows you personally. Like, insert your name. He knows you personally. And he laid down his life for you, and he leads you out, not to twiddle your thumbs, but to lead you on his mission, which is leading you into his abundant life. So again, I want us, church, to feel and to see just how good Jesus Christ is. that he is on mission to save stubborn, dependent sheep like me and like you. So think about it. Why would you want to trust yourself to find the good life, to find the abundant life in anything else when the good shepherd Jesus offers you and calls you into his life and mission? That Jesus is the good shepherd, again, it works like a window into the love and motivations of Jesus Christ. That Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd is divinely and powerfully beautiful, isn't it? If you're a Christian, doesn't that give you a tremendous amount of clarity for your life right now, of who you are and what your mission is, because of who Jesus Christ is and who he tells you that you are as your good shepherd? Jesus is the good shepherd, and this echoes, it reverberates all across Scripture and through our lives today as Christians and corporately as the church. And Jesus is also called what? He's also called the chief shepherd of his church. And he is on mission to build his church. And what's he say about his mission? The gates of hell won't prevail against it, because he must bring them also. So when you hear Jesus is a good shepherd, like, that can give you warm fuzzies in your heart, and it should comfort you. And it should also strengthen you to give your life away for the mission of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, two things I want to leave us with. We say this every week, and we're going to say it outside on a beautiful Oregon August day too. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we're really glad you're here, right? Maybe no one else even knows that you're really not a Christian, but you do. Let me lovingly encourage you today, in view of Jesus Christ being the good shepherd, admit the truth. Admit you're a sheep. Admit your dependence. And then confess and repent of your sins and entrust your life to Jesus Christ, the one who knows you fully and lovingly laid his life down for his sheep. The one who gives you a name and a certain identity and a purpose and a destiny. So again, maybe no one else knows this, but right now in the quietness of your heart, if you are choosing to trust and follow Jesus, like, I want to know about that later. Come talk to me later today or reach out sometime this week. Let me encourage you to confess and repent of your sin and believe that Jesus Christ really is as good as he says he is, and then find life in his name. And then for those of us that are Christians, for us as a local church, as Gresham Bible Church, as we move to a close, I wonder, where in your life right now do you need to hear and believe afresh that Jesus is the good shepherd? That Jesus knows you fully, that Jesus laid down his life for you, and that Jesus really is on mission through his sheep to save more sheep. And I want to leave us with two applications. First, in light of the reality that we're sheep, we need to be reminded that sometimes Jesus just isn't going to make sense to us. Do you ever think about that? Because we're sheep, Jesus says you're a sheep. So because you're a sheep, we'll be prone to unbelief and even spiritual stubbornness, even doubting the goodness of Jesus in our lives. Sometimes you're going to feel like, yeah, Jesus has been so good and so faithful to me, but maybe he just doesn't know what he's doing this time. If you haven't ever thought that, you will, because you're a sheep. Again, and if we're being honest, maybe that describes you lately, wondering if Jesus really knows what he's doing in your life lately. Wondering if you can trust him. Wondering if the pastures he's leading you into are really going to satisfy you. If that's you, let me encourage you to acknowledge your sheepness again to God. He already knows it. Just acknowledge it again to him. Acknowledge your dependence on God and confess and repent of thinking you know what's better for your life than God does, of thinking you as a sheep knows better than your shepherd. If Jesus really is your good shepherd, that means, again, there'll be times he has to redirect you, doesn't it? To redirect you in order to bring you safely home. So friend, brother, sister in Christ, trust again with fresh eyes who Jesus says you are, and then treasure again who he says he is, and then find fresh life and security and satisfaction in Jesus Christ, your good shepherd. Because we have his word on it. He really is your good shepherd. And so that means you can completely trust him in a Psalm 23 kind of way, that he's that kind of shepherd for you. Because he's the one who makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Because Jesus really is your good shepherd, you can trust him with your life, with your happiness, and with your destiny. Listen to how the old saint, Corrie ten Boom, said it. When Jesus takes your hand, he keeps you tight. When Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through your whole life. When Jesus leads you through your whole life, he brings you safely home. Why could she say that, and why can we say that? Because Jesus really is a good shepherd. And then secondly, you can think, yeah, Mike, that sounds all really well and good. What does that mean for my life this next week? When I'm getting ready to go back to university or for the school year to start or for work tomorrow morning, how do I apply this in my life this week? What does it mean for each of us that we're sheep and that Jesus really is the good shepherd? Well, if you're anything like me, and I bet you are, you need to be reminded and refreshed often with all that it means that Jesus really is the good shepherd and that I'm really a sheep and that you are really a sheep. We especially need to be reminded and refreshed and comforted and strengthened with that in seasons of suffering, when it feels like the darkness in your soul just won't lift, when danger is howling all around you. So as we close, I want to leave you with a little bit of a picture of how we're supposed to live in light of this, how we're supposed to live into our sheepness and to the goodness of who Jesus is as our shepherd, even this next week, even later today. So here's what I want to leave us with. It's a short story about where our focus is supposed to be, where it needs to be. So I heard this story about a famous businessman. He's like this business guru guy named Alan Emery. And in the early years of his work career, he worked in the wool industry. So Alan tells this story that one time he was out with a friend who actually was a shepherd, and they were out late at night on this vast open prairie in Texas. The shepherd, he started this huge bonfire to warm himself, and all his sheep were around it too. So around this huge bonfire, like picture it with me, around this huge bonfire is Alan, his shepherd friend, this guy's three trusty shepherd dogs, and then literally, like a couple thousand sheep. And then suddenly, on this cool, crisp Texas night, some coyotes start to howl in the distance. You can probably hear it, right? Coyotes howling in the distance. And then Alan tells how you could like feel the reaction of the flock. The sheep started to tense with fear in hearing the howling. And what happened? What did the sheep do? Alan looked out over all these sheep and he saw something he'd never forget, he tells about. he saw thousands of small little lights looking back at him. In the sheep's moment of fear, the eyes of the sheep weren't looking out into the darkness where the predators were howling. The sheep didn't run and scatter and panic. What did the sheep do? They were looking towards their safety, towards their only true hope. Their eyes were fixed on their shepherd, the light of the fire reflecting off their eyes. The sheep were focused on their shepherd because that's where their peace and their confidence was, no matter what was going on all around them. So Christian, Gresham Bible Church, by God's grace, fix your attention and your affections on Jesus Christ, your good shepherd. When the wolves come, when the danger howls in the darkness, have your eyes locked onto your good shepherd. Why? Because Jesus really is the good shepherd who knows us fully, the good shepherd who laid his life down for us, and the good shepherd who is on mission in us and through us. So today, for the service outside, we're not going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. But what I want to do here for a moment is like just to give us some space, just a minute to breathe and be silent and to consider what you've heard today about who Jesus is being the good shepherd, and then how maybe you're supposed to respond in light of that. So I'm going to give us a moment for silent reflection, and then I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to respond together in worship by singing loudly outside four songs. And then we'll transition for the rest of our day. So a moment for silent reflection, and then I'm going to pray for us. Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. We confess and repent of our sheepness, of our unbelief, of our tendency to trust ourselves more than we trust you. We ask today that you will renew a right spirit within us. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Direct our hearts and our focus to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ, the good shepherd of our souls. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.